You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to talk today on, and start a series, actually, on the thoughts on the battle of the mind. Everybody say the mind. You know, the mind's a tricky thing. I mean, it's you got to watch what you put in it, because what you put in it is going to grow, just like a garden. And what you think about all day long, that really determines your mood and your feelings and whether you're happy or whether you're not happy. If you want to be like Phil Robertson, where you're happy, happy, happy all the time, you have to get a hold of what you think about. Because what you think about all day long is going to determine how you feel. It's pretty simple, really. You can change how you think. Some people think, well, I wish I could get out of this mood, or I wish I could get out of this feeling, or this funk I'm in. You know, that's an old word, fall into a brown study or a brown funk, you know. How do you get out of that? Well, it starts by turning your thinking around. And then you go from thinking to what you're saying and what you're doing, and you can actually control your feelings that way. Not overnight, but you can make a difference. You can come out of depression and all kinds of things just by having the right attitude. A merry heart does good like a medicine. A broken spirit drives us to bones. You know, so what we need to do is get happy. Isn't there a song that says that, something like that? Get happy? Okay, forget that. But anyway. Psalms 10. Turn there with me, if you will. We're just going to talk about thoughts in general, thinking in general, the things you think about all the time, the way you think. You know, I think sometimes in church we don't just, if we're not careful, we don't just hear what we believe, but we're trained in a lot of ways on, we're trained to think a certain way. Not just what we believe, but how we figure things out, how we come to truth. I think in some churches we come to truth by whatever the preacher says. Whatever the preacher says is the truth. And that's a nice sentiment, and I wish that were always true. Are you with me? But really, that's not always true. In fact, that's really kind of a dangerous situation to get into, where you're just taking the word of the preacher and you're not studying it out for yourself, and you're not checking it out, and you're not looking at the scriptures that I quote, so on and so forth. Ultimately, how we come to truth and how we come to our faith is by finding out what God says. And my job is just to point you to Him. Isn't that right? I'm to point you to the scripture, point you to Him. I am not that light. I am a reflection of that light. I am always will be an adjective. I'm not a noun when it comes to God. God's a noun, I just compliment Him. I'm not the sun. I'm a satellite revolving around the sun. See, that's what's wrong with Adam. He tried to be a noun and he was just an adjective. You have to think about it. But we all reflect Him. We point to Him. We're all just trying to get to Him. We want to hear what He has to say. Amen. And so in our thinking, we ought to start thinking about what He has to say. I think that messes us up a lot of times, because we go through life not giving a thought toward what God is saying, not giving a thought toward His Word, not giving a thought toward what He said on this situation, this subject, or this trial I'm going through. Psalms 10, verse 4. Y'all found it? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Wow. That's pretty plain, amen? I mean, I can explain it to you, but I can't make you understand. I hope you understand this. The wicked, through the pride. Now, pride, see, we just taught on this pride in the men's breakfast. We talked on humility and confidence, not weakness and not arrogance, but humility, you know, which is not weak. It's submitting to God and realizing we need Him. And then confidence, which is not arrogance. That's just confident in God and what He says. And we just talked a little bit about pride in the midst of all that, how sometimes it turns into pride and arrogance. And I'm not arrogant when I stand on the Word. I'm just confident. I'm not arrogant when I say I'm going to heaven and my sins are forgiven. I'm just confident. I'm confident in God. Amen. So here he's saying the wicked, through the pride of his countenance. Pride is where God's left out of the picture. Pride is where God's not in the picture. Pride is saying I can do all things without saying through Christ who strengthens me. Are you with me? Pride would stop there. I can do all things, period. And really, humility and confidence would go on and say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's a difference there. But pride does not bring God into his thoughts. The New King James says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. So what are you thinking about? A penny for your thoughts. you know, you got this going on, that going on. You got this crisis and that crisis. You got this need and that need, whatever. You got this challenge and that challenge. You've got this coming up and that coming up. Well, in the midst of all that, is God in all your thoughts? Are you thinking about what God says about that? Well, I'll tell you what, it'll make a whole lot of difference in your life if you'll do. It'll make everything a lot smoother. It'll make everything more better. Amen. The New International Version says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. That ought to be the first thing we think about. You know, if we're a challenge, we've got a responsibility, we've got something we've got to do here. What does God say? How can I get God to help me? How can I get him on my side on this deal? Amen? How can I get on his side, as it were? What would God have me to do here? Always thinking about God, you know, always having thoughts about the Lord, always thinking about the promises. You remember that commercial years ago? I can't remember what it was about, but it was some scientist, and he was talking about, and he was Indian descent, and he was saying, he's talking about thinking. He says, I think all the time. Oh, I just had another thought. You remember that? You remember that commercial years ago? Well, we ought to be thinking all the time about the Lord. Now, I know 24/7, every single second, doesn't always happen, but we ought to put him into our day and into our thinking and into our mind. We often talk about actions, we often talk about words, but words are just results of thoughts. That's where it all starts. That's where the beginning of the thing. To be prideful is to empty your mind of any thoughts of God. It's to have no thoughts of God, period. And that's what makes you proud, because you think you're okay on your own. You think you're all right. Well, there's always going to come a time you're going to need God. Truth be known, you need him every day. You didn't make your body breathe today. It's a gift. You got up today, and this is another day to praise God. Hallelujah. What was that old Andre Crouch song? This is another day that the Lord has blessed me. This is another day. He blessed me. He blessed. You know, you start playing the piano, and then he'd jump up and he'd run off, you know. Healed my body, and he told me to run on. The other side of that coin of pride is this. This is interesting. I was meditating on this. Is that not all? It's wrong to be proud in the fact that you think you're okay without God, that you think you can do anything without him. Good news is you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, yes. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, but you could flip that coin and say, hey, I can do all things with him. So, you know, this will make a positive life for you, and life of success and victory. You'll start getting better, and your mood will improve for sure if you start putting God into the equation. Because he'll help you. But I think the other side of pride is to be too negative about ourselves. Are you out there? We see ourselves completely worthless and incapable of ever succeeding or improving. That would be the opposite of pride, but that's just as bad, because that leaves God out of your thoughts too. You know, if you think you're okay without him, well, that's wrong, that's pride. But if you think there's no hope for you and you cannot improve and you cannot overcome your sins and you cannot survive this crisis, and you cannot make it, you're leaving God out of your thoughts there too. Because God will help you make it, amen? You don't want to see yourselves as completely worthless and incapable of ever improving. You don't want to see yourself in that light. You need to move forward. You need to heal. You need to recover. And to do that, you got to quit dwelling on your sins and your mistakes that you have made in the past. You got to stop that insanity. You got to put God into your... God has forgiven you if you repented. This is a new day, hallelujah, and we're going forward, not backwards. Amen? Yeah. So it's two attitudes that you got to watch. I mean, when it comes to your thought life and what you think about concerning yourself and concerning your future, is that you don't want to be proud and assume that you're okay and can do anything without God in your life. That's wrong. You don't want to be like the proud and don't have room for God in your thoughts. And then number two, you don't want to be so negative and down on yourself in your situation that you have no hope of recovery. That also requires you to not think about God. Amen. John Maxwell said this in a book called Talent Is Never Enough. He said, striving for achievements is a lot like driving a car. It's a good idea to check the rearview mirror occasionally, but not to give it your complete attention. If you do, you will eventually be incapable of moving forward at all. We got a small rearview mirror, and we got a big windshield. Amen. So let's go forward, and let's quit looking backwards. Let's see what God has for us in the future. Woo, hallelujah. Not the sins we committed in the past. Proverbs 16, turn there if you will. This helping anybody? Okay, three people, that's good. Love it. That's worth coming. Two or three gather my name, there am I in the midst. Proverbs 16. Proverbs is just filled with wisdom. Little pithy sayings, little, you know, little quick sayings, sharp little sayings. In contrast, the wicked do this, the righteous do that, the fool does this, the wise do that. It's just a great book. It's a rubber meet the road book, a real practical book. And I think that's what we need in most cases. We talk about being spiritual and we talk about spirituality, but being spiritual is being practical. It is practical to serve God. It is very practical to love people. It's very practical to forgive. It's very practical to pray. Hallelujah, somebody. It's practical to fall in love with Jesus. Amen? Very practical. Notice what it says here. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. You want to get your thoughts established? You want to accomplish what you're thinking about? Because one translation does say that. It says your plans will succeed, the New International Version. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In other words, commit your thinking, commit your planning to the Lord. Get God in your thinking. Oh, you've got a project going on here. Well, have you put God into the question? Have you prayed about it? You know, I think really it's kind of hypocritical to go out and try to achieve something with our hands and our talents and never ask God to help us do it. In other words, we would actually endeavor to bring something to pass that we would dare not pray about. Oh, got on somebody's toes there. I felt that one in the spirit. No, we go, oh, well, I wouldn't dare pray about that. No, I think that'd be wrong me to pray about it. And then you go out there and work all day long trying to make it happen. Well, I'm not getting on to you for work and trying to make something good happen. What I'm saying is it's wrong to try to make something good happen and you wouldn't dare pray about it. God forbid that you wouldn't pray about something that you're trying to make happen. Because if you don't think God is in it, if you don't think God wants it to happen, and if you don't think God will help you do it, you don't need to be doing it. But if you are doing it, then by all means pray. By all means get God's hand in it. Get his thoughts on it. In fact, if you'll commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. Your plans will succeed. Excuse me for getting excited. Hallelujah. In fact, we ought to be consistent. Come on, we're Christians. We're believers, all right? We're not inconsistent. We don't wake up in a new world every day. We should live the same way we talk. We should pray the same way we work. We work toward goals that we're praying about. We're praying for things that we're working for. That's why I always think the hypocrisy of not believing in prosperity. Now, I know there's error in prosperity. There's error in every subject you could come up with. But there's also truth in biblical prosperity. Biblical prosperity is good. It's wonderful. Listen, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. Really, I mean, helping people and blessing people and my children and so on and so forth. But think about this. If you don't believe in prosperity, then what in the world are you doing going out working on a job? If you won't pray for God to bless you and bless your endeavors and bless the work of your hand, then why are you putting your hands to any work at all? To me, that's got to be hypocrisy, because we're trying to make something happen that we would dare not pray or ask God to help us do. So that's kind of being a little God ourselves, isn't it? We're going to make this happen without God. We're going to make this come to pass without the Lord. We're going to do this on our own. We're not even going to consult God. We're not going to ask God to help us do it. We're just going to do it. Well, I know I stepped on some toes there. If we don't believe God wants us healed, we dare not pray for healing. We dare not lay hands on the sick. We dare not to be so presumptuous, to have the audacity to believe God to heal someone. What in the world are we doing going to the hospital? Trying to get better. What are we doing having that surgery, trying to get ourselves out of the mess we're in physically? What are we doing taking that medicine, trying to correct that thing that's wrong in our body, if we would dare not ask God to help us? I'm not against hospitals and doctors. I'm for them. In fact, if it weren't for doctors and hospitals, most of us would be dead. I'm for life. I think we're on the same side here. But I believe in hospitals and believe in doctors and believe in medicine and believe in surgery because I believe in healing. Amen. Not because I don't believe in healing, because I believe it is the will of God. I do believe in doctors, and I do believe in medicine. I do believe in surgery. Too many times we've gotten a bad rap on that. You know, Pentecostal-type churches many times are against doctors and against medicine. Well, and then people that don't believe in healing churches, that don't pray for the sick, do believe in hospitals and medicine. I'd say they're both wrong. They're both hypocrites. Because if you believe in hospitals, you must believe in healing. If you don't believe in hospitals and doctors, you must be against it. But those that are against healing are for doctors and medicine. Those that are for healing are against doctors and medicine. Oh, please, come on, wake up, smell the roses here. You need another cup of coffee. If we're for healing, we're for doctors. Are you with me? If we believe in prosperity, we believe in working. We believe in responsibility. We believe in jobs. We believe in working hard. You know, come on, come on. See, we need to commit our works to the Lord. That's what God's saying here. Let's live like we pray. We ought to believe God for what we're doing. We ought to ask God to help us do what we're doing and live like we're living. Oh, glory to God, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So, commit to the Lord, New International Version says on this verse, Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Man, you ought to be thinking about God all the time. Oh, I ain't got time to think about God. I'm going to work. What? You ought to be thinking about God while you're going to work. About your work, you ought to be thinking about God. Are you out there? Hey, turn to Proverbs 21. I love church. I have such a big time. Y'all get to hear me preach. I get to preach. Amen. I think you should enjoy what you do. If you don't enjoy what you do, then you know, you either need to change your attitude or you need to change what you're doing. Because really, life is enjoyable, and a merry heart does good like a medicine. I quoted that earlier. Broken spirit dries up the bones. Just get happy. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be mad. You don't have to be upset and looking for the bad and everything and the negative and everything. Quit that kind of thinking. Start thinking about the good, thinking about the blessing of God on your life. And, you know, think about how he's healed you and given you life and given you breath and given you a talent and given you a job. Maybe you're a little upset with a job. Well, thank God you got a job. Amen? And if you want another one, start believing God for another one. Don't quit your job until you get another one. But and if your finances aren't where they are, I believe God. Ask God to help you. Get faithful in your tithes and offerings. Start praying over your finances and praying over your checkbook and your wallet. Don't write checks that you don't have money in the bank to cover. That's not a faith check. That's a foolish check. Okay, are you with me? But, you know, use wisdom, but you probably didn't get in the mess you're in overnight, but you probably won't get out overnight, but you can get on the road to get out of the mess you're in if you'll take it step by step and little by little and obey the principles that God's given us here. Hallelujah. First thing you got to do is change your attitude. And you're going to do that, you've got to change your thinking. Start thinking differently. You know, I think it was Albert Einstein said this. He said the significant problems that we face cannot be solved by the same level of thinking that we had when we created them. That's deep. You'll have to really chew on that one. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says this, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness or abundance, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. They're not patient. They're just run here, run there. They're not believing God, not trusting God. They're in a tizzy all the time. Fretful about every decision, everything they do. They don't know if anything's going to work out. They're worry warts. Sometimes that's us. But if we're diligent and we're patient and we're trusting God, our thoughts will always tend toward success and victory. We'll get through this. We'll make it. We're going to be okay. God's going to come through. Oh, it's a bad deal. It hurts. You cut me, I bleed too. But you know what? I know God's bigger than this, and I know it'll get better. I think toward the victory. I think toward the open door. I don't know what's going to happen to me in life. I don't know all the things that are ever going to take place, but I know this. I'm going to trust God, and he's always come through. So whatever happens, whatever I don't know, I never could think of or dream of that might happen to me, I know God's bigger than that. I know God can get me through that. I know I can succeed. I know I can make it. My thoughts, they always lean toward abundance, and they lean toward plenteousness. And even if I sin, I know that God will forgive me if I truly repent of my sin. I can come out of that. Even if I had a bad thing happen to me, I can overcome that. Hallelujah. My thoughts have God in their thoughts. See, that's what he's saying. A righteous, diligent man will always have God in his thinking. And so he's always going to be positive. He's always going to rise again. He may fall, he may stumble, but he'll get back up. He's either up or he's getting up. Amen? And so that's an attitude. That's a thought life. Diligent people think about abundance. They don't think about all the reasons why it can't happen. They think of why it can happen. They're can-do people because of God, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There has got to be a way out of this thing. God wouldn't bring me this far to leave me now. Are you with me? I've prayed too long. I've believed too much. I've lived for God too long to quit now. I've never been in a position I'm in now. Ever in my whole life, I've ever been in a better position I am now to see my destiny come to pass. All these years behind me of serving God, no, this is not time to quit. This is time to go forward. Amen? Hallelujah. So most modern translations even translate thoughts here to plans, the plans of the diligent. They're planning to go over. They're planning to make it. Have you sinned? Join the club. Plan to repent and overcome it. Have you had a bad marriage? Maybe you're going through a divorce. I don't know. Maybe you had a divorce. You know what? It's not the end of the world. Bad deal. I hate it. God hates it. You hate it. We all know it's bad. It hurts. I don't care if you're at fault or not. It still hurts. Affects a lot of people. I mean, it just leaves a lot of bodies behind it. I mean, there's a trail of bodies and hurt lives and kids and relatives and friends and people with divorce. God does not like divorce. But I'll tell you what, God's a forgiving God, and you can rise again. You can start again. You got to get over. You got to shake that thing off. You can't buy the lie that you're just going to repeat that thing over and over and over. You got to get your thinking. Get God into your thinking. See, I can make it. I can do this. God's bigger than this. This is bad. I hate it, but I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm going to push it behind me. I'm going to go forward. Amen? And someone hurt you. Well, join the club. You know, we ought to just start a club. This is the someone hurt me club. Everybody would qualify, wouldn't they? You could also put a subtitle, and we've hurt others club. You know, everybody's been hurt, and everybody's hurt others. What are you going to do? You got to go forward. You got to start trusting God. You got to start thinking of healing. You know, at some point in your life, you got to think, you know what? I need to heal. You cannot just stay in that pain. You cannot just stay in that sin. You cannot stay in that hurt. You just can't do that. You know, there's a preacher, can't remember his name, Keith Moore, I think it was. Yeah, it was Keith Moore. Many of you might know him, but he was ministering one time, and he was in a pastor's home, and the pastor had a little boy that was just, you know, just like all little boys. He had, you know, cuts and bruises and everything, just rambunctious and running around. And he came in. He says, "Hey, I cut my knee the other day. Look at here." And he said he had a Band-Aid on his knee. He had shorts on. He had a Band-Aid. He said, "Look at here." And he pulled that Band-Aid off and just pulled that scab off and everything. I know it's a little gross. But he said, "Look at here." He was showing off his scar, you know, or his pain and you know, war wound. And when he did, the whole scab came off and everything. He said, I was there looking at it and I thought, you know, that's a lot like we do as Christians. We will just not let ourselves heal. Someone comes around and we want to show them our scars. And every time we do that, we just pull that scab right off and we got to start all over again. We keep talking about it. We bring it up every time we get around somebody. Hey, look at here. Hey, I've been hurt. Hey, you know what happened to me? Hey. And you don't ever heal because you never give it time to heal. You just rip it right off. Rip it right off. I thought, man, that is a good example. And we do that, don't we? See, we got to turn our thinking around. We got to start looking forward. We got to start thinking about the future. We got to start thinking abundant thoughts. Hallelujah. Thoughts of success. People don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. They're not planning to get over. We got a plan to get over. Amen? And the way to do that is start thinking about what God says. Anybody read the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff? Yeah, I read that book. It's not a real big book. It's a cute little book. It's a little motivational book. Richard Carlson, who's got a PhD, wrote that book. And he said, fearful, frantic thinking takes an enormous amount of energy and drains the creativity and the motivation from our lives. Be aware of how quickly your negative, insecure thinking can spiral out of control. How many of you know that's true? You ever got mad at somebody and you're driving down the road all by yourself? And you start talking about what you should have said when you talked to him last time you talked to him? Well, I'll tell you one thing next time I talk. Well, and for long, Your whole windshield's fogged up. And you're at the top of your lungs, and there's nobody in that car but you. But you have worked yourself up into a frenzy because you have reminded yourself of that situation. You reminded yourself of that pain, that hurt, that embarrassment, reject, whatever, and that anger, that bitterness. And so that frantic thinking has gone spiral. It's gone ballistic. It's gone nuclear, man. You got to stop that thing before it gets out of hand. Amen? Park that car and pray. Turn to Isaiah 55. I love this. I guess this is probably one of the most misused scriptures. Out of context, misquoted. This passage of scripture I'm going to turn to, I want you to turn to here, Isaiah 55. It's a great scripture. The context of this passage really is good. It's wonderful. It's about repentance. It's about coming to God. It's about turning things around and doing things differently and thinking differently. But often we've quoted it so out of context. Anybody heard the saying, well, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. You never know what the Lord's going to do. I'm thinking, I always know what God's going to do. I know it's kind of flaky. I know what he's going to do. Are you with me? I'm kind of unpredictable, but God's very predictable. He's always going to do what he says. Okay, let's go in the context of the scripture, my thoughts, not your thoughts. Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So who's he talking about here? Let's don't try to explain a whole lot. Let's just read it. Let the wicked forsake his way. So wicked ways forsake them. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Unrighteous thoughts, you need to forsake them. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying? Let the wicked man forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And I will have mercy, or he'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Return to the Lord how? In other words, quit living in a wicked way and start living in a godly way. Isn't that the call? Okay, let's go further. Quit thinking unrighteously and start thinking righteously. Quit thinking unrighteously unlike God. Start thinking like God. What else? What in the world else could that mean? I mean, that's exactly what he's saying. Repent, return to me. Don't walk your way, walk my way. Don't think your thoughts, think my thoughts. Am I putting anything in there? I mean, I don't think I'm putting anything at all. In fact, the whole point is to turn around. Repent means to turn around. Quit going that way, go this way. Now, is he saying that to everybody? Well, not to people that are walking God's way, not to people that are thinking God's way, but people that aren't walking God's way, people that aren't thinking God's way, they need to turn around and start walking God's way and thinking God's way. And he's calling them to repentance, and God says, I will abundantly pardon. Okay? For, 8th verse, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Whose thoughts? That would be context, I think that is, when you're putting this in context of the verse before it and the verse after it. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen, when I love someone, that is God's thoughts. When I forgive someone, that is God's thoughts. I'm thinking God's thoughts when I'm thinking of helping you and blessing you and forgiving you and lifting you and encouraging you. I'm thinking God's thoughts. And when I go encourage someone, I'm walking in his ways. And when I go help someone, I am walking in his ways. I don't need to repent of that because that's what God does. So that's okay. That's actually walking in God's way and thinking God's thought. When I go out and hate someone, oh, no, wait a minute. Now that's unrighteous and that's wicked. And God, that is not God's thoughts. And those are not God's ways. Y'all out there? To leave God out of your thoughts would be wicked and unrighteous. To put God into your thoughts, ooh, hallelujah, somebody. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying that you and I can never know God's thoughts. He's not saying you and I can never walk in his ways. He is actually calling us to think his thoughts and to walk in his ways. That's not what that means, and I'm not from East Texas, and I don't have an accent. In other words, God's thoughts are not unrighteous, and God's thoughts are not wicked. His ways are not unrighteous. His ways are not wicked. So stop that wicked, unrighteous thinking and start thinking righteously. Are you with me? And holy. Okay, ninth verse. Man, this is good stuff. Isn't that good? Now that's context. That's, anybody ever heard that verse out of context? Oh, come on. Anybody heard it where, well, you could never know what God's thoughts are. You could never know what God's ways are. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, is what God says. Well, actually, they say God. God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and God's ways are not your ways. Well, no, they're not wicked, not unrighteous, but when I love, I'm walking in his ways. In fact, the whole Bible's filled with giving me instruction on how to walk in his ways and how to think his thoughts, how to turn my thinking around. You can think the thoughts of God. You can. Here they are right here in my iPad. Well, Bible, if you have a Bible, yeah. If you'll just get a hold of these, get them in your head, you know what, and you know what will happen? Here's what will happen. Let's read on a little further. Ninth verse. For as the heavens are high, higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. Whose thoughts? Wicked. They're higher than wicked. Unrighteous, okay. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, of course they are. It is a, you want to take the high road? Take the love road. The love road's so higher than the hate road. As high as the heaven is above the earth, love is higher than hate. That's God's road. God's road's a love road. You want to take a road of forgiveness? Well, you're taking a, you better get you a space suit on because you're going way up there. Because loving people, forgiving people, is higher than the heavens is above the earth when it comes to bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying you could never know his thought. You could never walk in his way. No, he is compelling us. He is calling us. He is got a clarion call and a horn he's blowing. Come on, walk in my ways and think my thoughts. Quit thinking the way you used to think. Start thinking the way I think. Quit walking the way you walk. Walk the way I walk. As the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than wicked, unrighteous ways. As my thoughts than your wicked and unrighteous thoughts. For as the rain comes down. Now listen closely. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and returns not thither. King James says, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Think about it. Just like water, just like rain, just like snow, the purpose of it, the intent of snow and rain and water is to make increase come, to make dry land produce, to bring success and plenteousness and abundance. That's what water does. That's what rain does. That's what snow does. It makes the earth bring forth and bud. It causes dry land to produce where it never produced. It causes increase to come when there was nothing but failure and defeat. It causes seed to come forth, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Abundant thoughts is what we're talking about. That's the way God's word works. That's what he's thinking about. That's what he does. He comes to you, and his thoughts toward you are good, not evil. His thoughts toward you is get you out of that sin, get you back on your feet again. His thoughts for you is to take that mess of a life that you had and make a message out of it, hallelujah, and make a testimony out of it. His thoughts toward you is for that dry, barren land of your life, he wants to bring increase and produce, and he wants the trees to grow again, the grass to grow again, just like all the rain we've had around here. How green is it around here? These lakes are rising. My yard is... needs to be mowed. You're going to have a helicopter to do it. You can't drive a mower over it. It's so wet. There's water everywhere. I remember when drought was here just about 4 years ago. You remember that? That wasn't that long ago. Now we got water everywhere. Man, it is. My ponds are full. My front yard is full. But what's happening? Things are growing, man. I mean, things are coming up out everywhere. Why? Because of water. Did you know if you'll get God's word in your thinking, start acting on God's word, it'll be like water to your soul. And increase will come. Your life will get better. Your marriage will get better. I'm not saying you won't have obstacles and challenges, but you'll have help when it comes. Amen? Now that's what he's saying. This is the way I think. This is what he's saying. Just like the rain, just like the water, this is the way I think. 11th verse. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. just like the rain, just like the water, just like the snow. If I can just get this word in you, if I could just get that water in that ground, if you could just turn your thinking around and start thinking my thoughts, if you just turn your life around, start doing what you're doing, start doing what I would have you to do, if we could just make this connection, God's sake, if I could just get in your life, if I could just get involved in your life, I'm telling you, the desert will bloom again. Flowers will come up out of the ground. Trees will come up out of the ground. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And you are the thing he sent it to. But if it doesn't get in you, it won't prosper. If you don't have room for his thinking, if you're just proud and think you don't need him, this will never happen. But God wants it to happen. And you can make it happen, Captain. You can, by turning your thinking around. Notice what it goes on to say here. Is this helping anybody? I'm preaching myself happy, I know that. It says this, 12th verse, "For you shall go out with joy." And all of a sudden, it's a different, you got a different walk. You got a different look. You ever seen those ball games? And you can look at the fans and tell who's winning. Can't you? I mean, the people aren't winning. Their shoulders are slumped. I mean, they're down. Their whole countenance has changed because of defeat. On the other side, they're smiling and grinning from ear to ear and jumping up and down and screaming and hollering. Why? Because they're winning. They're winning. Well, he says, you'll go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. Instead of being stressed out all the time about everything you do, and you can be led with peace if you just change your thinking. Change what's going on in your head. Get a hold of God's word. Get it inside of you. Write scriptures out. Put them on a refrigerator if you have to. Put them on your car. Get some scriptures concerning what's going on in your life. What's the greatest need in your life? Just take it one thing at a time. Start prophesying over your business. Prophesying over your marriage. Prophesying over your church. When I say prophesy, get God's word and plant it in your life. No different than a farmer does when he puts a stake up on a row and puts a seed packet with a picture of what's going to come up out of that ground. He is prophesying that ground coming up. It's not all that spiritual, but it's the truth. He has planted something that he believes will bring forth something, and it's going to look like this picture. And he puts that stake down there and says, that's what's coming up. I prophesy. Now, we think of prophecies in terms of, you know, a gift of prophecy, which I believe in totally. But I tell you, we'll start saying what God says. That's prophesying too, but it's based on the seeds we're planting. I can't say it if I don't say what God says, but if I say what God says, yeah, I can say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said it. He was prophesying, wasn't he? But it's based on what God said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He was prophesying based on the Lord is my shepherd. His thoughts were filled with God. He had seeded that ground, and so he could tell you what was going to come up on that ground. Just like any farmer worth his salt will tell you what's going to come out in that field. When you go by that field is plowed and planted, and you don't see anything coming up, you ask that farmer, he will tell you what's going to come up based on what he planted. Isn't that right? So if you'll quit planting those bad seeds, start planting some good ones, You can start prophesying your future in that sense. You know, it'll get better. I'm going to rise again. Hallelujah. I see it coming. Hallelujah. You shall go out with joy. You'll be led forth to peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, all those thorns you've been bringing up, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Hallelujah. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Actually, God looks good when you look good. When you come out of that mess, He gets glory out of you winning, not losing. He gets glory out of you repenting of your sin, not you staying in your sin. He gets glory out of you healing up from a bad situation, not you staying in that mess. Are you with me? It's not all about you. It's about showing God to the world that we can recover. Praise God. We can heal and we can go forward and we can make it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to make it. How about you? I just believe I'll make it. I believe I'm going to go over. Because I'm trusting God, not because of me, but because of, I'm trusting God. I'm going to put him in my thinking. Thinking the thoughts of God. That's where the battle starts. Starts right in your head. Starts right in your mind. You're headed where your head is.